This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump mocks Cohen. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, August 23rd, thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is denying accusations that he directed his former lawyer to break campaign finance laws and took to Twitter to berate him.
Hurricane Lane is targeting Hawaii, and some residents are being told to seek shelter, but some shelters might not be sturdy enough.
The pastor of a church in Iowa called for a spirit of forgiveness during a vigil for murder victim Molly Tibbetts.
And a new survey finds Americans are starting to contribute more to retirement savings.
What we're seeing is that people are backing up their words with actions, in the sense that people have the mentality has shifted since the Great Recession. People recognize how important savings is.
Greg McBride at Bankrate.com on new stats about retirement savings. He's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump is denying the accusation that he played a role in illegal hush money payments to two women during the 2016 campaign. In addition, he's berating his former personal lawyer and so-called fixer, Michael Cohen, for making the charge in court on Tuesday. On Twitter, Mr. Trump wrote yesterday, "If anyone is looking for a good lawyer, I would strongly suggest that you don't retain the services of Michael Cohen!" Exclamation point. He spoke with Fox & Friends co-host Ainsley Earhart.
What he did, and they weren't taken out of campaign finance. That's a big thing. That's a much bigger thing. Did they come out of the campaign? They didn't come out of the campaign. They came from me, and I tweeted about it.
Mr. Cohen, as part of a guilty plea in federal court, said that the president directed him to buy the silence of the women so their allegations about affairs would not harm the presidential campaign. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders read a two-line script in yesterday's media briefing saying the president, quote, had done nothing wrong. The guilty plea of Michael Cohen and the conviction of Paul Manafort are raising the question of whether President Trump would use his authority to grant clemency or pardon the two former advisors or any of his other former confidants facing legal troubles. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao in Washington. Byron, what do we have?
Well, essentially, the president has the unlimited power to pardon whoever he wants of federal crimes, or commute their sentence, or free them from jail, or even preemptively pardon people who are facing charges. So that raises a question about whether this very unusual president may act to pardon some of his aides that are facing either jail time or are facing charges.
Well, maybe not based on what he said about Mr. Cohen on Wednesday, but does that mean for Mr. Manafort, if he were to do it, say even before the second trial, is that possible?
Totally possible. He can pardon him for the offenses he was convicted of in Virginia, and he can pardon him preemptively for any charges that he's facing in the District of Columbia, which is a trial scheduled to start next month. And so the president has unreviewable pardon power. That does not mean there are not political consequences to pardoning a close aide accused of fairly serious crimes, but Congress can do very little, the public can do very little, and the president's discretion here is essentially unreviewable.
If Mr. Manafort would be pardoned by the president, what would that mean for his trial?
So the trial would essentially grind to a halt. That doesn't mean that there are no consequences to a pardon. So Manafort would essentially lose his immunity or his privilege not to testify against himself. So if he were called in front of Congress or if he was asked to be a witness in another trial, he would lose the defense of pleading a Fifth Amendment, which is the amendment that says you don't have to incriminate yourself and you can essentially shut up if the government's asking you questions about criminal conduct that you engaged in. If he got a presidential pardon, he could no longer claim that and could be forced to testify specifically about things he knows about Trump or about Trump's associates. So that could happen. There's another possibility that he could be brought up on charges at the state level. So he was in Virginia. I'm sure some of his business flowed through other states, and those states could file similar charges, and the president could be would be powerless to pardon those offenses. So there could still be consequences for Mr. Manafort, but his trial would come to a halt. That would be it.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao about pardons. How about the potential political consequences here?
Well, so that's the more interesting question. You know, this has happened before. Obviously, Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon when he left office. Bill Clinton issued a number of midnight pardons, including of a financier named Mark Rich, that became quite controversial and were actually the subject of congressional and other investigations. So just because the president has this power and just because it's unreviewable by Congress and the courts does not mean there aren't some political consequences. It could be seen as corrupt by the public if the president pardons many of his close aides. And some legal experts even say that pardoning a number of co-conspirators in a larger conspiracy could fit into a pattern of obstruction of justice, and prosecutors could weave that into an indictment of the president himself if it came to that. So it's not like there are no consequences to this. But essentially, there's very little anyone can do to stop the president from issuing these pardons, but there are consequences that could come, that could stem from his decision to issue pardons.
I know that the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was quick to say on Tuesday night, Mr. Trump, don't bother, don't think about pardons now or any time in the near future. But that's a toothless threat, I guess.
Well, Congress, at the end of the day, has essentially the ability to use many processes that are essentially political. So there's impeachment, there's censure, there's other investigations that could occur, and any consequences that would be faced by the president would be essentially a political process. So Congress could say, if they were convinced the use of a pardon was corrupt, that many legal experts say that's a totally impeachable offense if Congress would like to go down that path. But that's in the realm of politics, not in the realm of law.
Thanks, Byron. Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao in Washington. A vigil was held last night for Molly Tibbetts, the 20-year-old college student found murdered this week after she went missing while out for a jog last month. More than 250 people packed into the sanctuary of St. Patrick Catholic Church in the small Iowa town of Brooklyn. The Reverend Corey Close, pastor of the church, told the assembly he barely had words for the occasion. The pastor went on to call for a spirit of reconciliation. Jake Tibbetts, Molly's brother, was among the speakers.
Find someone you've never met before and talk to them, meet them, and make a new friend tonight, because that's what she would do. She'd make friends with every single person in this crowd if she could.
Meanwhile, authorities charged 24-year-old Christian Rivera, an illegal immigrant, with first-degree murder after he took investigators to the cornfield where the body was found. During a court appearance yesterday, bail was set at $5 million. His lawyer, Alan Richards, asked the judge to bar journalists and other members of the public from the court proceedings. It's 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Hawaii residents are being warned of life-threatening impacts for the arrival overnight of what could turn out to be the strongest hurricane to hit the islands in a quarter century. Hurricane Lane was straddling the line between Category 4 and Category 5 as it headed west-northwest through the Pacific on course for the main Hawaiian islands. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Hawaii yesterday, it had a maximum sustained winds of 150 miles an hour. The center of the storm was expected to move very close or over parts of the islands and linger there from today through Saturday. Maui Mayor Alan Arakawa.
I'm hoping and praying that it'll diminish in strength. And I would be very, very happy to be able to say, well, it was another near miss. But that doesn't seem likely with the trajectory that's coming now.
FEMA was pre-positioning barges. Schools across the state will be closed today and tomorrow. Meanwhile, an NBC TV station says Oahu emergency management officials have concluded that some shelters couldn't withstand even a Category 1 hurricane. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump accused his former lawyer Michael Cohen of lying under pressure of prosecution as his White House grapples with allegations that the president had orchestrated a campaign cover-up to buy the silence of two women who claimed he had affairs with them. Trump took to Twitter to accuse Cohen of making up stories in order to get a deal from federal prosecutors, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
As the president said, we've stated many times, he did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him. And we've commented on this extensively.
Cohen pleaded guilty Tuesday to 8 charges, including campaign finance violations that he said he carried out in coordination with Trump. The U.S. and China have increased tariffs on billions of dollars of each other's goods in a new escalation of their battle over Beijing's technology policy. The 25% penalties apply to $16 billion of imports from each side. The Chinese government called the U.S. duties a violation of World Trade Organization rules and announced it would file a legal challenge. The Democratic National Committee, which was hacked by Russian intelligence officials during the 2016 presidential campaign, has contacted the FBI after an unsuccessful attempt to access a voter database maintained by the organization. The DNC was alerted on Tuesday by a computer security firm that uncovered a replica of the login page to the DNC's Vote Builder database during an online scan platform. The DNC says no one gained unauthorized access. Ohio State has suspended coach Urban Meyer for 3 games for mishandling repeated professional and behavioral problems. A former assistant coach, Zach Smith, with investigators finding Meyer protected his protege for years through domestic violence allegations, a drug problem, and poor job performance. University President Michael Drake.
Urban Meyer is suspended through September 2, 2018, and for the games on September 1st, 8th, and 15th.
Meyer says he followed his heart, not his head, in giving Smith the benefit of the doubt. George Clooney may be taking a hiatus from the big screen, but he's still cashing in. The 57-year-old ranks as the highest-paid actor of the year, taking in $239 million from a lucrative business venture, endorsements, and older movies. Forbes says Dwayne Johnson comes in second, followed by Robert Downey Jr.
A couple of, older guys there doing pretty well.
It's nice to see.
Still hanging around.
$239 million.
Yeah, looks like he's going to pay the rent this year.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. It's not often we get to report good news about Americans' retirement savings habits, but a new survey by Bankrate.com finds that 28% of employed Americans say they're saving more for retirement this year compared to last year. Greg McBride is chief financial analyst at Bankrate. Greg, give us some findings.
You know, positive news. And, you know, we've seen this creeping higher over the last several years. I think this is consistent with an improving economy where unemployment's coming down and people are finally starting to make more money. What we're seeing is that people are backing up their words with actions, in the sense that the mentality has shifted since the Great Recession. People recognize how important savings is, but even then, they weren't doing much about it. But where we've started to see the needle move a little bit here in the past few years is with regard to retirement savings. More Americans each year continue to bump up their retirement savings. This year, 28% of employed Americans say they're saving more for retirement than they did last year. And that's, you know, the highest that we've seen in the years we've been looking at this, dating back to 2011. And on the flip side, those that have cut back on their retirement savings, just 13%. That's the lowest we've ever seen, and it's less than half of where it was 7 years ago.
So which generation is doing the savings?
Yeah, we do. And, I mean, the good news is, you know, it's not concentrated. We do see evidence of it across the generations. But who's doing the most are millennials between the ages of 28 and 37. Which I think this is great news, because millennials are going to have the biggest retirement savings burden in history by virtue of longer lifespans, higher health care costs, fewer pensions, more uncertainty about Social Security. So the fact that they're saving early and doing what they can to increase that savings, I think, you know, is unequivocally positive in terms of their future financial security.
Can this momentum last, Greg? Can we maintain it?
There's a skeptical side to me that just, you know, it says that, it will plateau at some point, you know, whether that's, you know, due to macro factors or just people getting comfortable and getting complacent. And, you know, people get frugal fatigue after a while, right? So, you know, at some point people, particularly when things are going good, they want their stuff again. And as we've seen in the past, savings often becomes the casualty there. So it wouldn't surprise me if we saw that same pattern play out again. But the bottom line is, look, even if it plateaus, it's going to plateau at a higher level than it was just a few years ago by virtue of the fact that we've seen more and more Americans bump up their savings and do so in consecutive years.
We're speaking with Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com. The 28% of people who increased retirement savings, that's only based on those who are actually saving, right?
That's based on employed Americans. So 28% are saving more. There were a few that didn't contribute either this year or last year among all employed Americans. But, you know, about half are saving the same amount as they were last year, and the other half split between those that are saving more, those that are saving less, and those that either, you know, just didn't contribute either or both years. And the good news is that those that are saving more outnumber those saving less by more than a 2-to-1.
That was good news. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, August 23rd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump denies accusations by his former lawyer. Hawaii residents brace for Hurricane Lane. Vigil held in Iowa for Molly Tibbetts, the college student murdered by an illegal immigrant. Second wave of tariffs goes into effect today against $16 billion of Chinese goods. Eight bodies found murdered in the streets of the Mexican resort city of Cancun. The late Aretha Franklin is the fourth most streamed artist since her death. And the Texas police officer who went above and beyond during a traffic stop. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. How is it that former high-ranking government officials retain privileged access to state secrets? Who benefits from this well-established practice? It's an issue as the Trump administration has or is considering revoking the security clearance privileges for current and former officials who may be critical of the president. More from Andrew Basevich, retired professor at Boston University, who wrote an opinion piece in the Boston Globe. Andrew, your take.
Well, I was really taking off from the ongoing controversy where the president is revoking security clearances of former high-ranking national security officials. It appears that the president is acting out of petulance, probably hoping to silence some of his critics. That certainly is not working. The question, at least, I raise in my piece is, why do these former officials have security clearances in the first place? My argument is that once an official departs from office, the security clearance ought to be terminated.
Why is it allowed to continue? Pardon the term, is it just like a swampy privilege?
Well, I think the argument that's made is that current officials may want to consult their predecessors, draw on their experience, draw on their wisdom in order to address policy problems of the present moment. I think that's a lot of nonsense. I seriously doubt that that happens in a significant way. I made the point that if the current director of the CIA can't find an answer to a problem after consulting her 21,000 employees, and she then wants to ask Mr. Brennan his opinion, she can certainly do that. But my guess is that more often than not, those 21,000 employees can give her what she needs to deal with the issue at hand.
What about are any of these, say, former government officials benefiting financially from having the clearance? Can they waive that and say, pay me, X amount of dollars a year, I'll be your consultant because I have this clearance?
I doubt seriously that it happens that sort of crudely and directly.
Okay.
But I do believe that this is a mark of prestige. You know, I used to be undersecretary of something or other, but I still have access to top secret information by implication. I'm still in the know. I'm still an insider. And I think that suggests a status that can translate into access, prestige, opportunity, and the opportunity can have a monetary aspect. So It's a way of staying a member of a club, of this foreign policy elite. And in the camp I'm in, I'm not persuaded that the foreign policy elite does all that good of a job, and therefore I'm not particularly interested in perpetuating the privileges of that elite.
We're speaking with Andrew Bacevich, retired professor from Boston University, and he's written a piece in the Boston Globe entitled "Security Clearances Should Terminate with Government Employment." I was reading some of the many comments to your piece, and at least one guy, I think, said, and maybe echoed what others were thinking, like, at least have a couple of people sign off if you're going to extend the courtesy and not just let it ride. Right? Because there's no, I guess, approval process for this once you are done with government service.
I don't know enough about the actual procedures that allows a person to maintain their security. I don't know exactly how that happens. And I think one could reasonably make an argument that if there's a particular individual who has a particular specific expertise in a part of the world or in some kind of a scientific or technological area, then yeah, I guess you could make the case that that person should retain their clearance. But that's not the way it is right now. Now it's quite a broad gauged permission. You know, calling back when I was in the Army long ago, we had a principle that pertained to clearances, and that principle was need to know. You know, when I was an Army officer, I had a top secret clearance. That didn't mean that I was allowed access to every bit of top secret information. What it meant is I was allowed access to top secret information that was directly relevant to my official duties. So once you step down, once you leave office, guess what? You have no official duties. And so it seems to me that the application of that principle would be that you no longer have any need to know. Therefore, former officials shouldn't have clearances.
Andrew Bacevich, retired professor at BU, about his opinion piece in the Boston Globe. Meanwhile, Arizona Republican Senator Jeff Flake is backing an effort to rein in President Trump's ability to revoke security clearances for political reasons. Mr. Flake said yesterday he's supporting an amendment from Virginia Democratic Senator Mark Warner. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, School Picture Day is a major event for middle schoolers across the country, making one Missouri boy's green screen photo shoot gone wrong all the more hysterical. According to Fox News, last week, Laurel Boone Hutzel took to Facebook to share the hilarious shots of her son Carter, who wore a neon green polo for his first day of seventh grade, which was also Picture Day, and divulged how the self-proclaimed mom fail came to be. The mom from the St. Louis area and her oldest child decided that the bright top would look great against the gray or taupe background for the photos commemorating the fresh start and clean slate of a new school year. When she was emailed the proofs 2 days later, Hutzel couldn't believe what she saw. Her son's floating head and arms against the backdrop of typical school picture scenes, like an autumn backdrop with falling leaves and a wooden fence and an American flag. Carter and Laurel's funny ordeal has gone viral, having been liked, shared, and commented on nearly 100,000 times on Facebook. Laurel says she has received tons of messages from other moms thanking her for sharing this mom fail and making them laugh.
It is funny. These are funny pictures. There's one actually of him with sort of like a grayish brick wall background. You see that one?
Right.
And it just looks like he's a mural.
Right.
Like painted on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you know, it looks like something you'd Photoshop at home or something like that.
Yeah.
But and again, and his smile. He's got a great smile. So he just looks super excited to be buried in that American flag, you know, or something like that.
Well, who wouldn't love just to have your head floating around a leafy forest, which is basically what it looks like in that one picture.
And Gordon, if you've ever been frustrated while opening up a package of deli meats from the supermarket, you're not alone. But when one New Hampshire man took his frustrations to social media, he got the attention of a sympathetic governor. According to local TV, Londonderry town manager Kevin Smith recently took to Twitter to ask that the company Market Basket not put the price tag stickers over the zipper of the meat bag. He said it's impossible to open without destroying the bag. This got the attention of New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, who responded saying he has to rebag cheese every time because of this problem. Market Basket answered that it would speak to its deli departments about it, and on Tuesday, both Smith and Sununu tweeted that the stickers were moved to the bag itself, and Sununu said he was celebrating with grilled cheese for dinner.
That's good.
Now, see, this is a great use of social media, and I wish that this is this is how we use social media.
Yeah.
Not for all the bad things that happen because of social media, but this is a problem that was solved because of social media.
Right. Society can now advance because of this.
Because we've all had this happen, I think, trying to open up the bags and having them tear to shreds.
Well, I guess what happens is they put the sticker over the zipper just to prove that it's not been tampered with, it's fresh, sealed, the last person to touch it was, in fact, the deli person.
And then it becomes very unfresh after you have to tear it open with your claws, and it's all, you know, the plastic's all over the place.
Pull out a Ziploc and rebag it yourself, as the governor said.
Yes.
Right. By the way, did he put tomato on that grilled cheese?
I don't know.
Otherwise, he is not living. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. More playtime could actually help your child. A new report from the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends an hour of play in addition to an hour of exercise for your child. More from this morning's Max Chadwick.
The lead author of the report says more playtime will help build a child's brain. He says it teaches children executive function skills, learning to persist on a task, problem solving, and flexibility in how they learn things. Pediatricians say that play should even continue through the child's teenage years. The report found that playtime has decreased significantly in the last 15 years, while screen time has dramatically increased. About 30% of kindergartners don't go out for recess. Gordon?
Thanks, Max. That report, by the way, also showed that play mitigates stress and teaches language, social, emotional, and 21st century skills. You don't even need to buy expensive toys. The survey says wooden spoons and cardboard boxes are often enough for a child's imagination. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Florida, New York State has sent a subpoena to President Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, in connection with a probe of the Trump Foundation charity. The subpoena was issued by the New York State Tax Department after Cohen's lawyer made comments about Cohen having information regarding the Trump Foundation, which is based in the state. New York's attorney general had filed a lawsuit against the president, three of his children, and his foundation in June, saying Trump had illegally used the nonprofit as a personal checkbook for his own benefit, including his 2016 presidential campaign. President Trump weighed in on whether he'd pardon Paul Manafort following the former campaign chairman's conviction on bank and tax fraud charges. In a Fox News interview, Trump said he had great respect for Manafort in terms of what he's done, what he's gone through. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon warns against any pardon.
If the president were to pardon Michael Cohen or Paul Manafort, I think that would constitute a significant attack on the rule of law in America.
Hawaii closed schools and some government offices yesterday as it prepares for a hurricane with sustained winds of 155 miles an hour. Hurricane warnings are in effect for the islands of Hawaii and Maui as Hurricane Lane heads toward the state. Governor David Ige says residents and visitors should take this storm seriously.
The request is to shelter in place. We'll be opening shelters as we see flooding or specific impacts that affect a broader area.
The unpredictability of the storm and the possibility of severe winds, flooding, power outages, and other damage has the state on edge. What could make a horse race even more exciting? Moving along with the horses. Las Vegas casino company Full House Resorts has promised building a $200 million resort in New Mexico featuring a grandstand that can move with the horses as they run. Design drawings portray a vehicle similar to a streetcar with the side facing the racetrack open. The grandstand would move at the speed of the horses, about 40 miles an hour.
Whoa. Whoa. What about your drink? It's my beer sloshing in my lap while I'm
40
trying
40 miles an hour. You could probably still drink.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Mint juleps? Safe? Right. Oh, man. Could you imagine? Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Getting pulled over by police is nerve-wracking, right, for most. But for 70-year-old Jacob Hudson, it was absolutely anxiety-inducing. CBS News says Jacob has PONDAS, pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorders caused by streptococcal infections. The 7-year-old, who suffers from anxiety, was with his mom, Adrian, when she was pulled over for speeding in McKinney, Texas. Ms. Hudson said she was taught to keep your hands on the wheel, look at the officer, be polite when getting pulled over, but she was nervous about what Jacob was doing in the back seat. He was freaking out, saying he was going to run out of the car. The bright flashing lights and blaring siren while getting pulled over were apparently sensory overload for Jacob. Turns out the police officer was very understanding and had a plan to calm Jacob down. Mom talked her son into getting out of the car and joining the officer to check out his police cruiser. Now, Jacob wants to have a police party and be a cop when he grows up. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.